And so 9 through 11 last time, we were saved from God's wrath. That was in verse 9. And we went to the cross in verse 9a. We are justified by his blood. The rescue happened in 9b, much more. And you remember that much more statement was three times. Much more are we saved from God's wrath. And the outflow of that was in 10 through 11. So we praise him. Reconciliation. That means to restore a broken relationship. And that's exactly what Christ does. He restores a broken relationship that we had with him. And of course, verse 11 was rejoice. That can also refer to bragging and also to joy. Now, the sermon title this week, this is one of the fastest sermon titles I've ever gotten. I read the scripture and I said, wow, that's an epidemic or a pandemic. Either way, I like epidemic better. But, there's been some big epidemics throughout history. One of those was in 1918 to 1919 was the Spanish flu. It killed over 500,000 in the U.S., 20 million worldwide. And that's H1N1 flu. That was also right during the war, the Great War. In 1957, 1958, Asian flu, H2N2, killed 70,000 deaths in the United States. I couldn't get the statistics for the world. In 1968, 1969, the Hong Kong flu, H3N2, 34,000 deaths in the United States. Now, something to look at this chart, you will notice that as time progresses, science gets better at curing, because these numbers go down. However, when a new strain comes along, look at this. There was over 1 million that were killed in the United States. 7 million worldwide. And that's still going on. I just had COVID just about a month ago. And I don't know why it was, but it was tougher that time than it was the first two times that I had it. I'm going to talk about a spiritual epidemic today. Not a physical epidemic, but a spiritual epidemic. And let's jump right in here. We look at verse 12. All mankind have sinned, and sin enters. And notice what the Apostle Paul writes in verse 12a. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, therefore, and this has been building to where we just left off about having our relationship restored to God. This kind of answers why that relationship needed to be restored. The ultimate reason why Christ had to come, had to die on the cross to pay for our sin, because sin had entered the world. Harmateia. And this word sin here means to act contrary to the will of God, to sin, to engage in wrongdoing. And we have seen this word before many times, and it ultimately means we've broken fellowship with God. Now, it's entered through one man. One man, and we know that to be Adam. In Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good, and God told them, don't go there, for the food was pleasing to the eye and also desirable to gain wisdom. So she took and ate, and she also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And we all know the Genesis 3 narrative. They knew that they were naked. They tried to cover themselves, and God was looking for them and knew instinctively that they had eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is where it happened. When we talk about evangelism, and we looked at the three circles that we were going through on Wednesday night, sin starts in Genesis chapter 3. I think that needs to be part of the discussion, that we need to show them this is, and you know what? There's people out there outside these doors today in your office space. They have no idea of Genesis chapter 3. And what a wonderful place to start by sharing the gospel would be that the fall and sin of man. And this is how it starts. Robert Mounts, in his commentary, writes this: Adam typifies the sinful condition of all humans. Jesus stands for the justification received by faith. Justification. And by the way, Thursday I was at the nursing home and I was preaching on this word justification. And you've heard it before. It means you are acquitted of all charges. And anyway, received by faith. Redemption is the story of two men, Adam and the second Adam, which we'll get into. Well, I'm getting ready to start a series on Christmas, so we won't get to it till after the first of the year. But we will come back and visit chapter 5. The first man disobeyed God and led the entire human race in the wrong direction. Berner writes, and I added this, the stream of death has its origin in the fall of the first man. His fall is the fall of all. His death is the death of all. Mankind is a unity, and over humanity rules this inescapable law of God that death is part of sin. So when we talk about this, when we talk about sin, we talk about death. The word and death through sin. So sin comes, then death comes. And you know, and this word thanatos means the process of dying. So everything in our world is in the process of dying. Not just limited to or isolated to humanity. Recently, my 2007 Buick Lucerne was pronounced, my mechanic wouldn't let me drive it because it was rusting out underneath. The whole world is in the process of dying. It was just yesterday I was 25. What happened? I had hair back then too. That was good. I've also heard this, and my grandmother told me this, and God bless her. She was not right on this. She told me one time as I was a little kid, and she said, you know what? Death is a natural part of life. No, it's not. Death was never the original intent of God. So when I was a kid, I used to get spooked out by graveyards. And it's not natural. Death is not natural, but it is a natural result of the fall of man. God never intended men to die. Didn't. And then sin entered the world. Charles Cranfield writes this, that it is difficult for those who are in the habit of thinking death as a natural to come to terms with this doctrine of death is obvious. And it's not only in the modern times that the difficulty of this doctrine has been felt. It has been felt all the way back from Genesis chapter 3. So death is not natural. And so when we think about this, sin and death are connected. They are connected very closely because it reminds us, and you know, we all get older, time moves on, and that was not God's original plan. It's where we are, it's what we have to deal with, but thank goodness we have Jesus Christ, right? He died for us and rose from the dead. And so death really has no hold on the believer, even though we still have to go through the process. And at some point we will. But then death spreads. And so death, as a result of the sin that Adam did, and it's interesting that Paul uses Adam, not Eve. She was the first one, but the husband is the head of the wife, and so he gets credit for it. So Adam now has sinned and set a chain reaction in the world, he has set this chain reaction to that death spreads to all men because all have sinned. Now I'm going to dip into a real interesting area here, and this is where I spent most of my time this week going over. So death spread, diarchomai, and that means a movement, a complete movement, a particular direction, to move on or to continue. The cycle did not stop and does not stop. All men, anthropos, which means to all human beings, male or female. All men. If death was a baseball batting average, death would be batting 1,000. It never misses. And this is why we need to be prepared for when it does come. So death spread to all men. Now this word, all have sinned. Let's read it again. So death now, as a result of sin, has spread to all men because all men have sinned. I'm going to give you, five views from different scholars that I read this week. Mine will be last and mine is correct. So just want you to know that. Okay, so I say that. I do believe it is correct. But let's look at the first view of all sin. So death spread because of sin and the reason why all have sinned. The first one is this: all humans sinned in Adam. Okay, I get it, but it doesn't capture the essence. A second one is every person sinned after the example of Adam. The reason I don't like this one is the example. Although there is a prototype in verse 14, I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. I just don't think that captures what's happening here. Death is the basis of mankind's sinfulness. True, but does not explain how all have sinned. I want you to get the overview here. Why is it that everybody has sinned? And the first two are pretty good. Third one's kind of weak in my view. The fourth one is corporate sin. All have sinned by virtue of solidarity with Adam. That's a bad way to view this. Now, I know you're ready for this. You're waiting for this. This is the big moment. If we could get Tony up here, give me a drum roll. Now, this is what I think it is. And I came up with this after I read these scholars before. This is mine. This is what I think all sin means. All people inherit their corrupt nature from Adam. All people inherit their corrupt nature from Adam. And this is not just, it's imputed or inherited. Let me give you an example. In my family, on the men's side, a lot of the men have heart conditions. My grandfather Frazier, I remember him. He died when I was 4. He died of a heart attack. My dad died of heart issues. So on the Frazier side, and I'm on heart meds, but I'm nowhere. I'm okay. Mine's fine. And even if it's not, I get to go, right? To be with him. So that's inherited. That's inherited within the genealogy. Sometimes there is cancer that is prevalent in one generation after another in a family. The fact is, we have inherited. Where does disease come from? Where does disease come from? It comes from the fact of the fall. And we see this, you know, horrible things that come from this. And they say, well, how could a loving God allow that? God did not allow that. Man brought it on himself. And so when we have all these things, our bodies are not perfect. It is a result of the fall. God had nothing to do with that. It is our issue. A third issue is, it not only is inherited, but did you know that the earth that God created is groaning right now because of the sin of man? Let me read you Romans 8:22. We know, Paul writes, as a result of sin, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. The fall of man has hurt the earth. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm all for global warming because as I get older, I like weather to be warmer. But the fact is, the earth is groaning and eagerly awaits the return of Christ. Grant Osborne, another one of my favorite theologians, he wrote this: overall, the intermediate imputation view is the best. Thank you. I came up with it before he wrote this, so I'm giving myself credit. All people have inherited corruption from Adam. It is in us. It is in our DNA. The DNA continues because we all originate from Adam and Eve. And so within this, we have inherited a sin nature. If you don't believe you have a sin nature, have children. Don't do this. I remember Summer when she was little and we were in Hawaii with a pacifier in her mouth. She would walk around and she'd look at the light fixture and she'd look at me and she'd go, "No, no." Like, so kids are not going to do what they're told. And that's one simple example of how we have this sin nature in us. And then have participated in that sin. Therefore, they are guilty from two directions. The sinful nature inherited from Adam, passive sin, and their personal participation in it via their own sin, active. Yeah, you see that, right? And this is why, listen to this, this is why every person born needs a Savior. Because they can't get rid of that sin. Nothing can get rid of it because it's innate, it's inherited, it is in us. So, all mankind has sinned and broken God's law. Verse 13. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. The world here is cosmos. Sometimes this cosmos refers to the solar system, to the universe, everything created the world, but it doesn't mean that here. Here the word means people, listen to this, people associated with a world system and estranged from God. For sin was indeed in the world, that is, people who did not know God, and it was before the law was given. Law is nomos, and in other places it's the teleos. Let me give you an example, Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That is basically the teleos. Christ is the teleos of the law, meaning that Christ fulfilled the law perfectly. This word that Paul uses particularly here is the word nomos, which means written instructions. Now, the Jews would have understood this to be left to right, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They would have understood that this was the instruction that Paul was talking about. Now, the Jews had a mindset. The Jewish mindset was that until the law came, you really couldn't have sin. Because when the Pentateuch was developed and Moses wrote it, then we knew what sin was. And in a sense, that's kind of right. to a degree. But sin, notice the next phrase, but sin is not counted where there is no law. So now we need to get into, I think, a couple of issues. The first issue is this. So in practicality, we are not under the Mosaic law, the Gentiles. That law was not for us. Paul writes this, this is what I mean. The law came 430 years afterwards, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by law, it no longer comes by a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So I'm going to get into Abraham next week. He's part of my Christmas series. The Jews also believe that in Genesis chapter 12, when God told Abraham to get out of your country and go to a land that I will show you, and I will bless you, and you will be the father of many nations, that's the promise in Genesis chapter 12. The Jews believed 430 years after this, so we're looking at a period from Abraham to Moses, 430 years. Moses comes along. Let me make sure I don't get ahead of myself here. Moses comes along and gives the law. Now, the Jews believed that the law trumped the promise. And Paul's saying, no. That 430 years, that covenant does not annul the promise made to Abraham. The law in Galatians, if you go read it, the law was their tutor to lead them to Christ that they may be justified by faith. So first of all, we were not under the Mosaic law technically. Romans 2:14 and Romans 1-3, everybody's guilty, they need Jesus. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law, and that is the law of Moses, the Pentateuch, do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves. If we're not Jewish and we're born, at some point we know right from wrong. It's innate. It's in us. So they are a law to themselves in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing them witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing them or else defending them. So just because we didn't have the Mosaic law, we're not under the Mosaic law, and Acts says, let's not put on the Gentiles anything of the law except to abstain from meat, strangled, and there were some other conditions, but they weren't under the law. And see, what happens here is, he's trying to bring both worlds together. But here the issue is this. But sin is not counted. You ready for this word, not counted? This is interesting. I had to spend some time with it. We're talking about Adam to the law, 430 years. But sin is not counted, or that word means recorded, where there is no law. So there's some possible interpretations here. Number one is this: even without the law, sin and death were present and powerful. That doesn't really answer the question. What is he talking about? Sin was not recorded. Secondly, law is universal and unwritten. Well, that's true, but it still doesn't answer the question. Three, even without the written law, the corporate nature of sin is prevalent. Does not answer the question. And the best response to this came from my professor, Grant Osborne. It's this. Paul is saying that while there was sin, it was not officially known as such. As in 4:15, it was the Mosaic law that made sin a deliberate transgression against God and showed humankind what it was. That's pretty distinctive. I like that. Yet people were still guilty before the law came, While there was no official registry of their sin, the sins they committed were quite real. So in other words, what Dr. Grant Osborne's saying is that just because there was no record of it doesn't mean that the people didn't sin. When Moses came, we realized, oops, that's sin. But those people were still sinful. And I'll go back even further. I'll go back from Adam to Moses. All were guilty. All had sinned. So this brings us to the last point, the Adam typology. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. And that's how we know that this is the law, because he mentions Moses here. Even over those, this is verse 14, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was the type of one who was to come. Now, we don't like to talk about this a lot. We don't like to talk about death. None of us do. But it's part of our world because of the fall of man. Douglas Moo said this: death refers clearly to physical death, but not to physical death alone. Spiritual death, condemnation, is also involved. When we look at Adam and Eve, they were in a utopia. It was a wonderful place. Everything was provided for. They had fellowship with God. And then the sin. And since then, that relationship that was originally established was broken. That was not only a physical death, but also a spiritual death. And therefore, Christ had to come. He had to go to the cross, and he had to pay for the physical death and the spiritual death. And he had to pay for our sin in full. And I agree. I wrote this. Yes, it is a physical death, but with the presence of sin, it also refers to a spiritual death and separation from God. And this is the heart of evangelism. This really is the heart of evangelism. Because if we don't clearly express and explain that people are sinners, they're not going to want to trust in Jesus. We have to understand this system of death and sin and explain it to them in a way in which they can understand, I'm a sinner. I know I've shared this before. When I got saved and the army chaplain led me to saving faith, all of my grandmother's teachings about sin came back. Now, they were wrong on some things, but I knew for the first time that day that I was a sinner and that I needed Jesus. I knew it for the first time in my life. My grandmothers talked to me about it. You know, people sin. But I didn't get it until I got it. And when I got it, I realized, wait a minute, what this chaplain is telling me is true. I need to trust in Jesus. And I trusted in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've lost track, 40-something years ago. But I was living my life, la-di-da-di, going out with my friends. My grandmothers are not cool. And then that chaplain explained to me, listen, Sergeant Frazier, you're a sinner. And I got it. And then I realized I need to trust in Christ. Brothers and sisters, we need to tell the story of sin when we tell people about Jesus. Not meanly, not harshly, but we need to go back to Genesis chapter 3 and see how the whole thing led us to the moment of Jesus Christ. We have to tell people that they're sinners, and we have to tell them that they need to repent of their sin and seek forgiveness. And it's not just a physical death. It is separation from God. I'm going to give you one more verse here, and then we're going to land the sermon. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." It would be great if you trusted in Jesus Christ and you just kept living. It doesn't work that way. Jesus is saying there's a physical death and there's a spiritual death. And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. You may die, but you will not die. And death does not hold victory over the child of God." That also needs to be told when we share the gospel with people. And I know you guys and gals do a great job sharing it, but I think we need to remember that. And the word type is typos, or a model or example of something. And in this case, it's Adam. So, in conclusion, let me share three things. Then we'll have a prayer and give you an opportunity to respond. Number one, all mankind has an innate and inherited sin nature. Secondly, sin is a universal problem. It's an epidemic. Humans, environment, animals, everything experience the fall. Number three, Christ our Savior is the only means by which we can be made right with God. The cross is so important because on that cross, Jesus paid for our sin. And when we trust in him, all of that sin is gone. We are washed clean. Positionally righteous before God the entire rest of our lives. And that's what we need to be sharing with people out there.